I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You should always be careful when you give your high school daughter your cell phone, because things might be revealed that you don't want revealed. And so on Friday evening, Genevieve and I went down to Barnes & Noble in Greenville, and she says, "Oh, Dad, I can't believe it. It's so cool. You got your Spotify Wrapped today. It's amazing." And then she opened. She said, "Oh my goodness, you're like one of the top listeners in the world, Dad. This is amazing, right?" I said, "Well, it's because I exercise and I listen to theology podcasts and I'm listening to C.S. Lewis's books and I was like, no, Dad. It says right here that you listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd, you listen to Guns N' Roses, and then you listen to the Rolling Stones. It doesn't say anything about theology podcasts. It just, it does say that you like sports podcasts as well." So I am, I got called out. What I listen to is classic rock and Bears podcasts, right? So there it is, right? I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not as sophisticated as I thought I was. The reality is that we have all of these stories, all these narratives, all the ways to get stories told to us in the modern world. And in fact, we had movie night the other night, and in the conversation, some of us said, "Well, I really liked it," and I said, "Oh, that was a horrible movie. It was awful." And so we have all these movies and all of these stories and all these songs and everything coming at us, and it is hard to figure out, in some ways, who we are in the midst of all of these things coming at us. That's in some ways the modern world, and in many ways the modern world is more complicated and more difficult to remember who we are and who God is, because it's always filled with noise. It's always filled with things coming at us. And so you would think, well, back in the ancient world where John the Baptist were and Jesus was, they didn't have to worry about this because, well, there was no radio and there was no internet, there were no cell phones, there was no cable television, and you couldn't be further from the truth. Of course, none of those things existed, but humans, being humans, have always found ways to preoccupy ourselves with lots of crazy noise in the world. And in many ways, our gospel reading today really begins with the problem of what we might call many, many stories and lots of noise coming at the people. And so here we have John the Baptist, and it says, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness by the river Jordan. And that word appeared, actually in the Greek, is paragynete, which literally means to come into being alongside of, right? It's this great word, and literally John the Baptist has come into being alongside the Jordan River and the people of Israel. And there he is in the wilderness between them. And there he is proclaiming repentance. And he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And so here we go. And John the Baptist, as it will tell us, is clothed with a camel hair shirt, and he's got a leather belt, and he's eating locusts and wild honey. Didn't you have that for breakfast today, Jeffrey? Locust and wild honey? Yes, exactly. He's on a new diet, the locust and wild honey diet. And on first glance, it looks as though John the Baptist is a crazy man down in the wilderness, and he is crying out and from the wilderness, and he's calling people to repentance. And in my mind's eye, there's a guy on a soapbox in North St. Louis acting crazy, calling people to repent. But the reality is that the people knew exactly what John the Baptist was doing. He was dressed as a prophet. And even the crazy food that he was eating, locust and wild honey, are kosher. And so people realize, oh my goodness, this guy is really calling us to repent. So the people go down there. Now, that word, repent, is metanoite, okay? And that is a second person plural command to the people. Repent. Now, the word repent in English is kind of what I like to call a thin soup. It makes us feel guilty and shameful for all the things that we've done wrong. But the word in Greek is a little bit more rich with texture and nuance. And this word, it means to know beyond what we presently know. To know things that right now we can't see or know, right? To go beyond where we are right now. But this word also carries the connotation of remembering who you are. Remember who God is, remember who you are, and remember who you are in relationship to God. Now, the people of Israel had a problem. And the problem was kind of a problem that we still have in Christianity today. You'd think we would have gotten over this with Jesus, but it turns out that people love this heresy more than anything. And it goes like this. Both the Pharisees in their own right with moral perfection and the Sadducees with temple practices and sacrifice had this idea that God's faithfulness was dependent on our faithfulness, and that we had to be super faithful and pure before the Lord in order to get the Lord to be faithful. Now, we've had this issue come up again and again and again in Christianity. And so what happened was the Pharisees, especially out in the country, and the Sadducees at the temple would tell the people, the problem is God isn't with us anymore, and your life seems crazy because God isn't here, and God isn't favoring you because you haven't been faithful enough. The Sadducees would say, if you brought us a few more rams to burn, then God would be here. And the Pharisees would say, if you had only followed the law more, then God would have been more faithful. But what we're going to find out, and what John the Baptist is going to say, and what Jesus will wind up saying is, if you remembered the story correctly, if you told the story correctly, you would remember that our faithfulness is dependent on God's faithfulness. And that whatever faithfulness we have is rooted in God's faithfulness. And that the story of salvation history, no matter how crazy people get, no matter how forgetful people get, no matter how sinful people get, is that God is faithful. That is the context of the covenant that God makes with Abraham. I am a faithful God, and I will always be with you. And yet, as soon as God speaks these words into existence, it seems like the people have forgotten what God has actually said to them. And they go on believing that God couldn't be faithful because, well, quite frankly, I have a hard time being faithful. And we begin to confuse ourselves with God and God with ourselves. And we think to ourselves, if I just were a little bit better, if I were just a little more perfect, perhaps listen to a little less Lynyrd Skynyrd, maybe God would be faithful to me. But the story is actually the opposite of that. When Adam and Eve eat the fruit, the first thing they do when they hear God's voice after eating the fruit is they hide under a bush. They have forgotten who God is in relation to them. They hear God's voice and they are afraid that God no longer loves them. So they hide. And when God asks them why they are hiding, they prevaricate and tell a crazy story. And ultimately the truth comes out. We were afraid, God. But the forgetting didn't end in the garden, when God calls Moses to the burning bush, Moses says, okay, God, you're going to send me back to Egypt to your people, but I know my people, and here's the deal with them. When I tell them all of the great things that have happened at this burning bush and that you're going to take them out of slavery, the first question they're going to ask me is, who is this God of yours? So I need a name because I know those people. They've already long forgotten you. So who are you, God? And of course, God's answer is simple. I am the one who is. Go and tell your people that the God of your ancestors, the one who is the one that is calling them out of slavery in Egypt. And of course, you would imagine that a people that were pulled out of slavery and walked through the Red Sea and had a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud and had manna and had water and had quail falling from the sky for 40 years would never forget that it was their God who was faithful to them regardless of how many idols they built. And you would think that after 40 years in the wilderness with manna and quail and water and a pillar of cloud and fire, the people of Israel would never forget who their God was and who they were in relation to their God. But the human mind has an easy way of forgetting what happened yesterday and getting concerned with worrying about today and tomorrow. When I asked all of the people in Bible study what they were doing to get ready for Christmas, we heard, well, I'm wrapping presents until my fingers fall off. I'm writing Christmas cards. I'm cleaning the house. I'm going to cocktail parties. I'm eating fine foods. And then I said, well, what have we forgotten here? And somebody said, well, we might want to get our hearts and minds ready for the coming of Jesus if we were getting ready for Christmas. I said, yeah, it's easy to forget that our God is faithful. Because I'm really busy with things. I got to get ready for God. I got to get ready for Jesus. I'm too busy to actually do praying and get ready. And so, here is John the Baptist at the River Jordan in the wilderness. There he is, the same wilderness that these people have walked through, same word, Eremoah, and the same River Jordan that they crossed to get into the Promised Land. And he's saying, remember your story. Remember who God is. Remember what God has called you to. Remember that you are in a covenant of faithfulness and love that is dependent on God's call and God's faithfulness. And so the people go down to hear what John the Baptist has to tell them. And he says, look, the kingdom of God has come near. I want you to remember the kingdom of God has always been near. That our God is a faithful God and he never left here. And not only that, what God is about to do is to become present and faithful in a way that he has never been faithful or present before. He is going to come and inhabit the same flesh that you inhabit. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come down to the wilderness in the River Jordan looking to be baptized and forgiven for all their sins, but John the Baptist knows their game. And their game is to tell bad stories and make the people forget that God is faithful and loves them. And he said, you brood of vipers, why have you come down here? You think I'm just going to forgive you and somehow you're going to keep on going and telling the same old bad stories to the people of God? You brood of vipers, until you change your tune and remember the story that God has always been telling his people and the covenant that God is in with his people, I have nothing to do with you. Now, the good news is that John the Baptist is pointing exactly to God's faithfulness incarnate in Jesus Christ. Here is God's kingdom in the flesh. I am preparing you to receive the one who is coming to do God's work. And you need to remember the story if you're going to be ready to receive who God is sending and the rest of the story that God is unfolding and telling in the one that he is sending. Now, I'm probably going to go home, and I'm probably going to listen to football podcasts to get ready for the Bears game at 4:45. I got my eye on you, Gordon. He's a Packers fan. I've been preparing all week fastidiously for this Bears game. I've been listening to podcast after podcast that assuages my fears that the Bears might lose again to the Packers. But the reality is this. There are always stories swirling around us of anxiety and fear and worry and shame and guilt and all the other things that pull us away from God. And there, John is. Jordan River, come, remember who you are. Remember the story that God has pulled you into. Remember that your faithfulness always rests in God's faithfulness. And remember that God is not done with you or will ever forget you. The good news is alive and flaming like the winnowing fork on the threshing floor. The good news is that God desires our whole being and nothing less to be ready and prepared for God's work in the world. So, I hope that you will go home and root for the Bears. Sorry, Gordon. It's just the way it is. I've got the floor and you don't. But I also hope that your hearts will begin to be prepared for God's faithfulness so that you might be ready and transformed for the coming of the one who God sends. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.